Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Columbus.
Welcome to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper.
Put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo!
Get ready to learn more about the Columbus Blue Jackets players and coaches, as well as find out what's going on this week in the NHL. Now let's join Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley for the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank.
What a day of hockey it has been. Olympic hockey, that is. Welcome to the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McGilligan. Jody Shelley is on assignment tonight. He is not here with me, but man, I'll tell you, I thought, look, the big story for the Blue Jackets is they are coming back to practice. With the exception of Elvis Merzlikins, who was representing the Blue Jackets for Team Latvia, his team was just eliminated yesterday in Olympic play, so he's not back yet. And Zach Werenski, who is playing for Team USA. And I was so worried all afternoon that Zach Werenski was going to be coming back before the weekend was over. I really was. The U.S. and Sweden playing today in a game that was tightly checked. It was a game where, I don't think the United States played their best game by far. I don't. They turned the puck over a lot. They turned it over at the blue lines a lot. It was hard to get much of anything going. They had a 1-0 lead late in the third period. Sweden pulled the goaltender, tied the game, and it forced overtime. And can you believe this? There were four games played today, and only one of the four did not go to overtime. And that was the Slovaks beating Germany today. They handled the Germans, and that one was a no-doubter, okay? But the other ones all go into overtime. Low-scoring overtime games, playoff hockey, really. Up until the overtime, that is. Because in this round of Olympic play, when you go to overtime, when you're tied at the end of regulation, it's a 3-on-3 like it is in the National Hockey League. But it is 10 minutes worth of 3-on-3, not 5 minutes worth of 3-on-3. Now, look, I'm going to say this to you right now. I am not a fan of these elimination games being decided 3-on-3. I'm not. And I'm sure there's a myriad of reasons that they do it, you know, probably to keep, they don't want to be playing all night. All right. I get it. And 3-on-3 is going to end a game a lot sooner than 5-on-5. Although after the 10 minutes, they do a shootout anyway. So, you know, I guess I'd be even more upset if the game was finished in a shootout, but man, I'll tell you, it is, I'm so glad I do what I do for a living for many reasons. The first and foremost is that I get to watch these players play on a nightly basis, and I get to actually meet and interact with players. All the NHL players that are playing in this tournament, I have the opportunity to, you know, talk to, and I said opportunity. I didn't say I've spoken to every one of them. Okay. But you know, you get to go into their dressing rooms and you can talk and you can find things out. And so that is great. That is absolutely a blessing. Okay. But the other thing that's great about it for me is, I have something to do during the game, and I have to be level-headed. Well, you may say I'm not so level-headed, but I have to be concentrating on something. When I'm just watching it as a fan, and I'm sitting on the couch, like for, when I'm calling a game, I know there's nothing I can do to change it. Try as I might, you know, lean to the left, hope that the puck will miss to the left, or you know, whatever it is. You know, wear the same socks for 7-game winning streak in a row. Maybe I've done that. Maybe I haven't. Anyway, so I can't do anything about it, though. I have no direct effect. I'm not playing in the game. But at least when you're there and you're with a team, you know, you kind of feel a part of it, what's going on, good or bad. Man, when you're just sitting on the couch and hoping and watching and, oh, my, I mean, I would not have wanted to check my blood pressure at the end of that Team USA game today. I just wouldn't have, because it would not have been good. Tell you that right now. Would not have been good. That was, you know, when you're watching the game, like, it's funny because I watch it and you can see when you watch it every day, and I'm not trying to say that you don't see this by any means. I'm not trying to talk down to you about it. So just kind of bear with me here. But there is when you watch the game, you can tell when the real scoring chances are coming. You can tell when, you know, the less dangerous chances are coming, but then there are certain moments in the game where you can see things breaking down and you can see the scramble and you can see that there is trouble. And you know that this is a real key moment in the game where there might be a goal scored right here. In fact, I expect it. I the third period there was a time Sweden's in the zone. They're skating it all around. They're going behind the net. They're getting a shot. They're getting a pass through. They're keeping it in the zone. And that puck's staying in there 30, 40, 45 seconds. And you're just like, oh, here it comes. You've got to get the puck outside the blue line. You've got to do something. And in that particular situation, Connor Hellebuck got a great save for Team USA and froze the puck and got the face off. And that alleviated the pressure that was on. But I'm sitting there on the couch and I can see this stuff and I'm watching the turnovers at the blue lines and it is like driving me nuts. And then when it's all done, you've got to go to a 3-on-3 overtime. And then you've got to watch the faceoff, which you know this from watching Blue Jackets NHL games, that opening faceoff is perhaps the biggest play in overtime because you need to have possession. I mean, obviously you have to have possession to score, but in 3-on-3, possession is the key because when you have it, then you can set things up. You can try to get the other team off kilter. You can create the 2-on-1 rushes, all those things. But if you lose the opening faceoff right away, you're on your heels and you're battling. And that other team is trying to set you up and get to your goal and end it very quickly. So anyway, it was nerve-wracking as could be. It really was. But the United States is able to grind it out and win the game 2-1, the final score. Quinn Hughes is the hero in overtime as he picks up the game-winning goal for the United States. Look, Quinn Hughes is a guy that was unavailable to the U.S. during the Four Nations face-off last year. He was injured. He wasn't able to play. Actually, they did bring him in right at the end, right? Because they had another injury, and there was talk about whether or not he might be able to play, but he didn't. But so they didn't have his services. So now they have him on the team, and he is a great offensive force, and he proved it in the overtime, as if he needs to prove it. He doesn't, but he did prove it in the overtime, getting the win for the U.S. So great. You know, last year when he was out, Zach Werenski got a lot of those top pair minutes for the U.S., and now Zach is playing a lot of third pair minutes. But what Mike Sullivan did in the game today, and he did it a little bit in the last game too, is when there are opportunities, he gets Zach and Quinn out on the ice at the same time, usually leaving Quinn on the left side where he normally plays and moving Zach Werenski over to the right side, which is funny. When I see it going on and I see how naturally Zach looks at whatever position he's playing, you know, I think about the Blue Jackets, and especially since Rick Bonus came in, he said, I'd like to have a left-handed shot on the left side, a right-handed shot on the right side. The Blue Jackets don't have that right now. They do with Zach's pairing with Damon Severson on the right side, but on that second pair, you've got Provorov and Matejchuk, who are both left-handed shots playing there. And then on the third pair, you've got Dante Fabbro right now, who's a righty playing on the left side, and then Gudbranson, who's a right-hander playing on the right side. So it doesn't always work out, but here's my whole point. Zach Werenski is so adaptable that somewhere down the line, if you needed him to do that in some situation, be it for part of a game, a whole game, or longer, he obviously can do it, because he does it very well on the biggest stage in the world. Dylan Larkin got the regulation goal. Quinn Hughes got the goal in overtime. The U.S., they win, and they continue on in Olympic play. Their next game is going to be on Friday, and they will take on Slovakia in that game. And before the U.S. even played today, there was some question as to whether Team Canada would survive and maybe get that matchup with the United States in a gold medal game. But the Canadians, too, did find a way to get it done. They played Czechia, and they won it 4-3 in overtime. Mitch Marner was the goal scorer in that one. Marner went in 1-on-3, and actually the Czechs backed up and let him continue to skate in, but he had three bodies around him as he took the shot that beat Czechia, and Canada wins that game 4-3. The other game saw Finland get a win. It was Arturi Lehkonen picking up the game-winning goal in the overtime for Finland, and so they continue on as well. Finland and Canada are going to play each other on Friday in the other semifinal game as everybody tries to get into the medal round. They're all trying to get to the medal round and all trying to win that gold medal. So that's what's going on in the Olympics. So it was a great day. Great day of hockey. And by the way, tomorrow's going to be a great day of hockey too, because tomorrow afternoon, the U.S. women will take on the Canadian women for the gold medal. The U.S. has been steamrolling teams in this tournament. They have outscored the opposition 31-1, is it? I think. And the last time they played Canada in the round robin, they beat them 5-0. It's not a gimme. It's a gold medal game. It's for all the marbles. So you can't just expect to get a win. But I'll tell you what, this U.S. squad looks very, very good. And they may be at the top of the mountain come tomorrow afternoon. All right, I've got a lot for you on this show today. I told you the Blue Jackets did come back to practice today. I'll let you hear from head coach Rick Bowness and from Charlie Coyle and from Adam Fantilli coming up later in the show. But coming up next, I had a chance today after practice to sit down with Blue Jackets Swedish forward Isaac Lundestrom. Lucky for him, we weren't able to talk about this game. But Isaac Lundestrom is a guy that came in as a free agent this summer after spending years with the Anaheim Ducks. He's been looking for his place on this Blue Jackets team, and he's found it. He found it right before this Olympic break, without question, playing for Rick Bowness, who sees him as a quote-unquote Swiss Army knife, because he feels that he can put Isaac into any position, center, wing, top line, fourth line, doesn't matter. And I know that's something that Isaac Lundestrom really, really appreciates, and he thrives on. You're going to find out about that and much more about Isaac Lundestrom next as the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank continues here on 97.1 The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Bah, the meatloaf!
The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Well, the Thursday morning rush hour could start with a little bit of fog, and then we warm up. Temperatures on Thursday at 63. It'll be dry the first half of the day. Then the second half, we start to see about a 50% chance of rain and storms emerge right through the evening hours. A couple of the thunderstorms could rumble through with strong winds. On Friday, a lot of sunshine. We clear it out, breezy and 58. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation? Good news. It's Hockey O'Clock. It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McGilligan. With me right now is Blue Jackets forward Isaac Lundestrom. And Isaac, how was your personal Olympic break? What have you done with yourself the past week and a half?
Yeah, no, obviously kind of get the hockey away from me for a bit and try to relax, and I went back to California to figure out some things to get back here to Columbus, and spend some time over there.
So you went back to California. Obviously, you spent a long time there with the Anaheim Ducks. So you signed here as a free agent last summer, but there were still some things that you needed to take care of. I mean, there's an actual life that goes on outside of playing the game, isn't there?
Yeah, no, for sure. You never know what happened in hockey. I had a storage there with little small things that you keep, and it's always hard to bring everything back to Sweden, especially. So, but I still had good friends with Leo Carlson there too, and he can take some stuff too, or whatever. But no, we figured everything out, so it was fine.
Were you having an auction there for your former teammates?
Almost. he could take whatever he wanted, so yeah.
Well, that's not a bad thing. And oh, by the way, it happened in California. It's not like you went to Winnipeg on your break. No offense to Winnipeg, yeah. But you got to go to sunny Southern California.
Yeah, for sure. I had time to get some golf in too and try to relax. So it was nice.
See, you're trying to sell this as a big work trip. Yeah. I had to take care of stuff, but you did get some golf in. How do you golf? Are you a good golfer?
No, I wouldn't say I'm good. I'm not bad. I'm not good. I'm around 10 handicap, so I can swing the ball, but sometimes bad, sometimes good.
Yeah, so that's how I am. Depends on the day. I'm not a 10 handicap, but yeah, sometimes bad, sometimes good. Was that something you did with some of your former teammates there too?
Yeah, unfortunately he had the surgery on the leg there. Otherwise he would be on the Olympic team here for Sweden. But yeah, I spent some time and get some dinner with him too. And so it was nice to see him.
All right. You talked about the Swedish Olympic team. And even though you were on a break and you were trying to get your personal stuff done, how much Olympic hockey have you watched so far?
Yeah, obviously sometimes it's hard with the time difference and everything, but I try to watch it as much as I can. And also, the other sports too, like I'm a big cross skiing, and Swedes and Norway and all those countries is always up there in that kind of sport. So that's fun too. So I've been watching a little bit of everything.
Now that's a great point. Yeah. I mean, the Norwegians kill it when it comes to skiing in all regards, don't they?
Yeah. They always up there, but the Swedes on the female side, it's really good. So they're competing with Norway up there.
You ever done any cross country skiing?
I mean, not like competing in any competition or something, but you know, with the family when you were a kid, you always had some ski on you. We have a nice skiing back home actually where I'm from, and yeah, I grew up skiing a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, so what kind? So here's my thing with cross country skiing. I've downhill skied.
Yeah, me too.
But
yeah,
when it comes to cross country, I don't understand any skiing you have to do uphill. I'm not interested in that. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's more fun to watch the guys competing.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I know. They're training every day, and yeah, I can't imagine to be that.
So what kind of, what were you doing? Mostly downhill skiing?
Downhill skiing for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. I'm actually, before play hockey and everything, it was just skiing. Like, as you mentioned, downhill for sure, not the other one.
As you got into hockey and you started to get older, did that take away your skiing time then once you started to kind of concentrate on what you're going to do for a living?
Yeah, for sure. You kind of, coming in the age of like 13, 14 or whatever, it's just kind of hockey. But before that, I had a lot of sports going on, you know, with skiing, and then obviously a big soccer guy too. So I loved soccer growing up too. So that was probably two biggest sports, hockey and soccer.
What position did you play when you played soccer?
Midfield, yeah.
Midfield?
Midfield, yeah.
Yeah? Just running the show out there, right?
Exactly. Try to keep the ball in the team.
And so when you're growing up and you're playing those sports and, you know, like I said, you're trying to figure out what you're going to do. You know, the Swedish league, obviously you've got great players there, but who were the players that you kind of looked up to and you idolized? And was there a specific guy where you said, I want to be like this guy?
Like in hockey?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously liked Peter Forsberg and those little bit older guys. You always watch some highlights on YouTube or whatever it could be, and you watch them Olympics, 06 and everything of that. It's kind of, yeah, Peter Forsberg, I would say.
So that kind of the guy that got you into, I want to be a hockey player maybe for real here?
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, I got to mention my dad and my big brother too. Yeah. Probably the reason why I started playing hockey. My big brother is 3 years older than me, and my dad was always like the coach for him. So I kind of joined them pretty early.
So you tagged along in a way, just at the beginning.
Yeah, for sure. And I was 3 years old when I played my first hockey game, actually. So I was pretty early.
3 years old?
Yeah, I played with my big brother, and he was 6, and that team. So.
And what position did you play at 3 years old?
Oh, I was everywhere. There was no position then.
No structure.
No, right? No. Just chasing the puck.
Do you remember that, or do your dad and your brother talk to you about it? I mean, do you actually remember playing the game?
No, not really. I mean, I think my mom have a lot of like picture back in the days. Yeah. So I think one shift I was hungry actually when I was 3 years old and asking for a banana on the stand. So they were kind of speaking it out in the box, actually. We have a guy here on the ice that is hungry. Someone have a banana. So it was like actually a little fun story they told me. But I don't remember much about it.
No, I was wondering. I didn't feel that you would, but I wanted to ask you. You know, it's kind of funny you say that about having the pictures, because what I found from watching the Olympics this year is that we are now in an age where there were pictures were easier, right? I mean, like when I was growing up, you had to take a picture and you had film and you had to develop it. Everything is digital now. And I think we're getting to the point where it's so much easier when you're watching these athletes that are playing the Olympics to get those pictures of them when they were 4, 5, and 6 years old, which is kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. No, it's like idols for every kid out there. And you want to take picture as much as you can if someone come up and ask for it. So, I mean, it's cool to have.
So you were, how much did your big brother push you to get better at this sport?
Yeah, no, obviously he was always after him, even if it was on the street hockey or if you want to go to his friends, I was always after him. So he probably didn't like me at the time, but now we're almost like best friends. So no, he pushed me a lot and I always tried to keep go after him, and he was always a little bit better because he was 3 years older. So, I mean, it was fun and good thing to have.
I remember talking to you. I say this like it was a long time ago. It was a couple of weeks ago. We were in St. Louis. I talked to you before the game against the Blues, and I was talking to you about playing the wing and not playing at the center position, which you've done so much. And you casually said at one point, I think you said you played defense at one point. Like, was that as a kid or was that when you were older?
I mean, kind of there in between, you know, when you're 14, 15 years old, you start to grow up and play like a little bit tougher tournaments or whatever. I play D sometimes, but mostly forward, obviously. But when I was back now, I was practicing a lot with the SHL team back home where I'm from before I coming overseas here. So then sometimes I play D there because they're missing some Ds, and I kind of enjoy that sometimes too. So yeah, I can play a little bit everywhere, I would say.
What does that do for you as a forward to make you better? And of course, I know like when a forward, a lot of times when you play defense, we need a better skater back there, right? We need somebody that's gonna be a little bit more maneuverable here and skate and close the gaps and all that stuff. But what does that do for you? Even if it's for fun, even if it's for a practice here and there, how does it help you develop your mind maybe a little bit better as a forward?
Yeah, I think it's good to see that from that perspective too, to be out there, and you always see the ice, and I'm always been like a pretty solid skater, so I kind of enjoy it to be back there, and you can see all the ice and make some easy plays and first good passes. So I mean, it's good, I think.
And are you able to process sometimes when a forward's coming at you, maybe if they do something you're like, dang, I wasn't ready for that, but then flip it back to the forwards aspect, and maybe the next time you're like, you know what, I'm going to see if I can catch this D-man with a similar kind of a move?
Yeah, exactly. You kind of see the little bit of the D. If he makes a step over or to the left, you can go right. Or like it's small details, and it's good to see when you play D sometimes in practice or whatever it is. It's hard, but I think it's a good thing for you too to see a little bit what they can do, and you can learn as a forward too, as you mentioned.
When you get a chance to do that, and I'm talking about go on the ice for fun, you know, whether it's back at home and in skating where there's no pressure, there's no, I have to do this, I have to do that. When you just get to let go and kind of be a kid again and do whatever you want, how much fun is that? Because this is so much pressure, what you do for a living. How much do you enjoy those rare occurrences?
Yeah, obviously that's why he started playing hockey, first of all, when he was a kid, because it was fun, a lot of friends, and you came together really, really good. I think you sometimes have to mention that, even if you play in the best league in the world, you gotta sit back on those times and kind of mention to yourself, this is fun, and this is why we start playing it as a kid, and kind of enjoy it. And yeah, like the games coming up now too, it's fun. That's why you play hockey for the important games coming up here.
Isaac Lundstrom is here with me tonight on the Inside Edge. I'll continue talking with him in just a moment, but right now I've got to remind you that the boom of the cannon is calling your name. Don't miss out on any of the action, and you won't if you have a 2026-27 Blue Jackets ticket plan. Pick the matchups that you want to see, take advantage of flexible payment options and savings of up to 40%. Plus, you can guarantee access to tickets for the 2026 Stanley Cup playoffs. Learn more by going to bluejackets.com/ticket plans. This is the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank on 97.1 The Fan.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem. Oh, yeah. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
You still thinking?
Rothman and Ice every Thursday at 2:30 for Gold Jacket Thursday.
Presented by the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
A new Hall of Famer joins the show every week. But not OJ, because he's dead and probably a murderer. The Fan. All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
I'm talking with Blue Jackets forward Isaac Lundstrom here on the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. Okay, so from Sweden, you end up getting drafted. You were a first-round pick by the Anaheim Ducks, and you spent a long time in the Ducks organization there developing as a player. And then this past summer comes, you're an unrestricted free agent, and you decide to move. How tough was that decision for you and your family to make that move across the country and come to Columbus?
Yeah, obviously I'm a pretty like family person and kind of get used to the guys. It's obviously it's tough to leave when you've been there for 7-8 years and you know all the guys and you come into a new team with like no Swedes and no like almost European, and yeah, we have a couple of Russians but no like Finns or really that. So obviously it was tough, but obviously they've been such a great teammates over here and it's been easy going. But obviously, first, it's a little bit nervous. But when you come in the first couple of days, everything kind of loosening up. So no, it's been good so far.
You're a couple years late. There used to be a lot of Finns and Swedes.
Yeah, I know. I'm good about it with a couple of those guys, with like Neil Landry had for a while, and Vanberg and Boqvist and those guys too. So
how much did you talk to those guys when it came to making the decision to come here specifically?
Yeah, obviously you kind of talk a little bit quick with them, and I heard when they played here too, they liked it. So I mean, it wasn't a hard decision to pick Columbus. So it was nice.
You know, it's funny to hear you say that about going somewhere where there are no Swedes or no Finns. Or I know people don't think about that. I mean, and it's kind of strange, right? Because it's nice even to have one fellow countryman around where you can speak your own language. You know, he kind of knows what you're talking about when you talk about certain things. Was that a big adjustment for you in the first couple of weeks getting here and being a part of this group at all?
I mean, a little bit. I think it would be worse if I was a couple years younger. Mm-hmm. You know, now I had my wife with me and everything. I had a couple of years in the league too, so I kind of know what to expect. But if I was 19, 20 years coming over here by myself and no like Swedes on the team, obviously I think it's tough for everyone. I mean, when I came to Anaheim, it was like four or five guys with Silverberg, Raquel and those guys. So they kind of helped me into the league. So I think that's a thing to think about sometimes. It's not easy for the younger kids coming from the Europe.
What was the sales pitch from Don Waddell that got you to choose Columbus?
No, first of all, they liked my game and they've been watching me. I didn't talk to him especially. It was more my agent kind of got the everything going, but I think they liked my game and I was a good reliable guy out there. So I think I think that was one of the things.
How much pride do you take in what you just said, being a reliable guy?
Yeah, I just want to win hockey games. I don't care about who's scoring the points and everything. You, end of the day, you want to win hockey games. That's why I'm here. So I hope we can keep winning here.
Yeah, see, you told me that same thing before that St. Louis game. I'm not worried about scoring goals. And then you went out there and within like 8 minutes, you had a goal in that game. So you still like it though, right?
Yeah, obviously it's fun for yourself, but as long as the team wins, it's more fun. But yeah, obviously always nice to score some goals too, for sure.
We talked about playing center, playing wing, and I'm assuming from what you just said, I know the answer to this. Does it matter to you what position you're playing, what line you're playing on, any of that?
No, not really. I play their coach want me and do my role 100%, so that's the thing I focus on.
Now, that being said, let's be honest. Right before the break, Rick Bowness, since he took over here, he's put you in a number of different positions. And one of those included playing wing on the line with Mason Marchman and Adam Fantilli. So that's the top line on this team. So what does that mean to you getting, you know, a coach that has noticed what you do in gaining responsibility because of the work you're putting in?
Yeah, obviously it's exciting. He kind of see the small things. And I think I'm pretty movable guy. I can play a little bit up and down the lineup. I think if someone hurt or whatever, I think I could do a good job up there. So I mean, I think it's fun to hear from coach, and he kind of sees it too pretty early too. So it's nice.
You were in a spot where you actually got hurt and you missed some time, and you got hurt in practice. Does that drive you even more crazy than if it was a game?
Yeah, obviously it's not fun, and then you miss a couple of games early on with the new coach coming in too, and you're sitting on the side. You want to show yourself too. So obviously it was a tough time, and obviously, as you mentioned, at practice too, it kind of makes even more angry or whatever you call it. So yeah, it was some tough time, but feels good now.
You know, I guess one thing that probably worked in your favor, I haven't asked him directly, but Rick Bowness did a lot of his coaching in the Western Conference, and you played in Anaheim, so he's seen you a lot. I'm sure he had a pretty good idea of what kind of a player you were. So even though he comes in and you're not quite ready to go, all you got to do is play your game. Obviously, that part has worked out.
Yeah, I don't know if he knows me though, but obviously
he knows you now.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit younger guy, but yeah, I play a couple of years over there, so I kind of feel old sometimes in the team, even if I'm still young. So yeah.
What's been the biggest difference for you guys as a group? I mean, yes, there was the coaching change, but you know, sometimes you get a coaching change, you get a little bit of a bump. What you guys have done since that change has been, I mean, it's startling, quite frankly. You won 7 in a row going into this break. I know you got a long way to go. You're not in a playoff spot, all that stuff. But what has caused such a drastic turnaround? Is there any one thing?
I mean, obviously you guys probably heard it, but his communication on the bench and everything, he's so into the game and kind of talks to everyone. It's not just like first line or whatever. He kind of make everyone feel like seen, if that makes sense. So I think that's a huge part. And I can see everyone listening on the meetings, like intense, and everything he says too, because he's been in the league probably. Yeah, he's the most games played or whatever as a coach. So you listen when it's talk. And I think he mentioned that defense win hockey games too, so that's a thing we had I talked a lot about when he came into the Columbus.
One of the things that I think is funny is, like, if you're on a 5-game losing streak, I don't know, like, does the message still get heard the same way? It seems to me like it's two things. Well, you're talking about the communication, and because there's better communication, there's better understanding, and then when you start to win as a player, that confidence just grows and grows, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, for sure. Now we had a pretty good winning streak here. So I don't know, since he came into the Columbus, you don't know how to lose. I kind of feel like for now. So I hope that continues. But no, obviously it's when you win a couple of games, you feel good in the team and like good fly home or whatever it could be. Always nice here, and come into the rink every morning with like a winning record is more fun than losing. It's tougher for sure.
All right, what's your stance on a winning streak? Because some people will be like, well, this was the worst time for a break. You just won 7 in a row. Now, look, it's hard to win 7, 8, 9, 10 games in a row in this league. And you have great competition coming out of this break. But are you one of those people that you didn't really want to take that break? Or are you confident that coming out of the break, you guys can pick up where you left off?
Yeah, we actually talked about it a little bit in the team, a couple of guys there. I think it could be a good thing. I think you could see it from two different sides. I think, as you mentioned, it's hard to keep winning. So I think it was maybe good to have a break here and kind of reset and go out and play as we did before the break. So I think it could be a good thing, yeah.
Yeah, if you come out and you're able to win the first couple of games, let's say you win the first 3 games out of it, that's great. You have a 3-game winning streak, but you tack it on to what you did. Now it's really impressive, right? And again, that's hard to do, win that many games in a row during the regular season. How tough is it going to be to get back to that pace? I mean, look, it's the playoffs when you come out of this break. When you play next week in Boston, it's literally the playoffs. You're chasing them for a wild card. The next game, you've got the Islanders, so you're chasing for a spot in the Metropolitan Division. Do you feel this break is our teams, and I'm not just going to ask about your team, I'm just asking in general, do you think teams will be a little bit sluggish in starting again?
No, I think it's kind of the opposite. I think every team is going to come out, and I think it's just going to be harder and harder from here. I think this is going to be the hardest games. But at the same time, as I mentioned, it's where you start playing hockey too. These games matter, every games matter, every point matters. And I think, as we mentioned a lot too, with the last year, a couple of guys that they're still here, lost with like 2 points out, like I think they still have that in the mind too, how bad that feeling was coming out, and they got vacation and the other guys keep continuing to play off hockey. So I mean, I think that's also a big like thing that we don't want to be in that shoe again. So
And you, I don't even have to ask you how excited you are about playing coming out of this break, because I'm looking at you. I can see it in your face. And this is exactly where you want to be when you're playing, right? You want to be playing games that matter, and you guys will be.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of guys in the locker room, especially we young guys, we haven't played a single playoff hockey game. So I think we are hungry for that too. And we want to get the playoffs back here in Columbus. Yeah.
Isaac, thank you so much for taking time. I'm glad you were able to go and give away all your belongings in California. Yeah. See some Olympic hockey, watch your Olympic hockey and stay caught up. And really looking forward to you and your teammates coming out of this break and trying to pick up exactly where you left off. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
That is Blue Jackets forward Isaac Lundstrom. I'll be back to wrap up this week's edition of The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank, here on 97.1 The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Looking to sell your home?
Bishop and Friends.
Have you seen him eat his food? He just swallows it whole. He doesn't even chew. Like, if he wanted to eat the thing, it'd already be eaten. That's not what's going on here. He thinks it's a toy.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan. Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation? Good news. It's Hockey O'Clock. It's The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The Blue Jackets are back at Nationwide Arena, and they'll take on the New York Islanders in a Metropolitan Division matchup on Saturday, February the 28th. This is an all-important game for the Blue Jackets. They are chasing the Islanders for a playoff spot in the Metro. The puck will drop at 6 o'clock on that Saturday night, and you can get your tickets right now by going to BlueJackets.com. This is The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McElligott. It was great to talk to Isaac Lundstrom, because I learned something from him, and I hope that you did too. And I don't know if you could tell it from the interview, but Isaac's a pretty quiet guy. I mean, he doesn't go around and, you know, you don't know he's there sometimes. He's just quiet. He keeps to himself. But I was so happy, and I'm pleased that he opened up and he gave us a little bit of a look as to who he is as a person and as a hockey player. Well, Isaac and the rest of his teammates were back on the ice at Nationwide Arena today over at the Ohio Health Ice House. And as I said earlier, Elvis Merzlik and Zach Werenski obviously not there, having participated in the Olympic Games. But for everybody else, they've been scattered. They've been in different places here and there, but they all reconvened today, got on the ice, and had that first practice. And Rick Bonus, well, he was reconvening too, because he left for a while, went back to his home in Florida, studied a lot of things about the Blue Jackets, and after the first day back, he was pretty pleased.
I was very encouraged. A lot of jump. The guys were anxious to get back, and they were. We had a meeting before the practice about what's coming up in the next little while and how difficult the next part of the season is going to be. But they had a lot of jump in their legs, and the execution was good. Some of them had been skating on their own, which showed. But today was just simply to get out there, and for the guys who haven't been skating, get the timing back, get the legs back, get the wind back, handle the puck as much as you can. Now each day going forward will make it a little more difficult. And there's a couple of tough days coming up here on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, for practices and on Tuesday. So we talked about that. This laid out the week for them, and they know what to expect.
What to expect is key for the Blue Jackets, because we talked about this before the break. Rick Bonus has come in here and he's done a fantastic job with this team, but he hasn't changed very much. Yeah, there have been little tweaks, but most of the work that has been done has been that attention to detail work. It has been breaking down the videos. It's been with better communication. And Isaac Lundstrom said this when I talked to him a couple of minutes ago. The communication between Rick and his players is really fantastic. And so what he has done is he's basically just talked to them a little bit more about what they're doing and what he needs them to do better. It hasn't really been system changes, and it may not be a lot of that. I think there are going to be tweaks that are going to take place during this mini camp that the team is in right now. But you really don't have time to make big changes here. It's great that you have this break in the schedule and that you can do something, but you don't have time to make any big earth-shattering moves, and nor do you want to make any big earth-shattering moves, because you're in a 7-game winning streak and you're 4 points out of a playoff spot. So you can go ahead and smooth out some of the rough edges, if you will. that I don't think you want to really get under the hood and do anything with the engine of this team right now. But having them back today and having them go through the skate, and this is not a heavy workout. Those are coming later in this mini camp. And Rick Bowness has been very open about that. He says we're going to skate 2 days on, 1 day off, but the days that he's looking at are Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday. Those are the days that are going to be the hard skates for the Blue Jackets, and he has been very specific about the fact that they will be hard skates because you've got to be ready for what's coming out of this break, that being next Thursday when you go to Boston to take on the Bruins. But for what the Blue Jackets did today, Charlie Coyle said this is exactly what needed to be done.
We need it. I think everyone does a little differently over the break. Some guys skate more, some guys don't skate at all, and there's all in between. But you come ready for practice here. You don't want to be left behind and, you know, falling behind too much. So a couple guys skated yesterday, a couple guys the day before, So it was good today just to have everyone out there at the same time and get back to what we've kind of started building the last little bit and prepare for Boston. That's got to be the mindset. And it was the first good skate on the ice with everyone and getting acclimated, getting good habits back and getting focused and prepared to go again.
Now, listen, every team's going to tell you that they need to get ready to go again, that it's important that they are ready to go again. Okay. Every team's going to say that, and it's going to be true. But for some teams like this one, it's even more important. You're four games out of a playoff spot. You're chasing a couple of teams. The Boston Bruins are 4 points ahead of you for the last wild card spot. The New York Islanders are 4 points ahead of you for the last guaranteed playoff spot in the Metropolitan Division. Adam Fantilli and his teammates are very aware of what's going to happen coming out of this break.
We got to get right to our game immediately, and we got to take these next 8 days or 7 days, whatever it is, really seriously, and dial in our details. Because yeah, if the break came at a bad time, it was that time for us. So we want to get right back to where we were, not miss a beat. We know this last 27 games or whatever it is going to be a sprint, so every single one matters. We missed by 2 points last year, and that's still a bitter taste in our mouth. So we want to make sure that doesn't happen again.
That's absolutely right. They don't want it to happen again. And that's within their control for the most part. I mean, you're still chasing. You can't control what other teams are going to do, but you can win your games, and they've got to win their games. It's that simple. It really is. So again, the Blue Jackets will be back on the ice tomorrow. That's a Thursday practice. They'll take Friday off. And then the hard practices start on Saturday and Sunday, day off Monday, back at it hard on Tuesday. And then Wednesday is the day the Blue Jackets are going to leave to go to Boston, and they will play again next Thursday. I mean, this has been a very long break, obviously, right? And it is that time to get refocused for everybody. And that's what they started doing here today. And there couldn't be bigger games coming out of this break. I mean, look, the way it sets up is really phenomenal. I mean, as a fan, you've got to be really excited about this. As a player, you've got to be really excited about this. Who are the teams that you're chasing directly? Well, it's these teams. Well, who am I going to play in the next two games? Well, it's these same two teams. So you really have to take advantage of it. And, you know, they're not going to win every game from here on out through the rest of the season, but you've got to avoid long losing streaks. I think when you get into situations where you're playing teams like this that are the closest to you, you've got to win those games, and you've got to put that pressure on them because they'll feel the heat. They'll feel you coming up from behind. So it's also important, but that being said, it's still a number of days away. So we'll enjoy this mini camp that the Blue Jackets have going on, and we'll really enjoy them getting back to action a week from tomorrow in Boston against the Bruins. I'd like to thank Isaac Lundestrom for being with me tonight, and thanks to you, as always, for listening to The Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McElligott. Thanks for listening to 97.1 The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Airflow Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Men, we all...
For those who qualify.